teach us by your love to love as you do.
Shot or stabbed, but I have, you know, been in incidents that violence had occurred. So in 2006, after Starkeisha Reed and Salika Wright was murdered in Englewood, I went to school with their siblings. I decided to take my stand against violence at the age of 18 years old. At that time, not only did Starkeisha Reed and Salika Wright move me to get active, I lost friends in school. I want to say my first friend that I lost to gun violence was when I was 15 years old. He was 17 years old, and he was shot on 67. So I found myself going to so many funerals as you know, being a teenager, and I knew something had to be done. So now here standing, 8 years later, I'm still out on the battlefield fighting. And unfortunately, standing 8 years later, I'm at 21 loved ones that I lost to violence in the city of Chicago, including the Chicago police officer Michael Bailey. As a 25-year-old, it pains me what goes on, not just in the city of Chicago, but around this country. Because young people, everybody is affected by violence, whether it's gun violence or whether it's any other source of violence. So I challenge all of you guys. First of all, I want to thank you all for coming out just to show that you care. But I challenge you all to get on this battlefield and do what you can do. You don't have to join an organization to become active in your community. You can start on your block, in your community, in your child's school, or in anybody's school. You can find some young people to mentor, to get them involved, and just to see what's going on. By profession, I work with students who suffer from social, emotional, behavior issues. And unfortunately, because I feel as though society has given up on the current and the next generation, I have six students who's in juvenile, and then I have some that's actually in prison. I have had four students murdered last year. So what are we going to do to do something for our young people and our families? Not only do I advocate for gun control and go out and speak to people, I support the families of murdered children. And not a night goes by that I don't talk to some parent who's actually on the phone crying about their child. A lot of you guys may have forgotten Ryan Harris. She was 11 years old when she was murdered in Englewood in 1998. It's been 15 years, and her mama still is grieving. A lot of you guys may probably forgot Eric Morrison. He's a 5-year-old that was pushed out the window in the Robert Taylors. His family is still grieving. The grief of violence never goes. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes I feel hopeless. Sometimes I'm afraid to answer my phone because I don't want to be told I have another loved one that was killed. My last loved one was killed in June. June 29th, I was actually got a parent purpose over pain, and I got the call from my brother who told me, I know you in the city, but you need to get over my auntie's house. And when I got there, I got the news. The pain, I don't know if you guys felt that pain, but no words can tell you. But I can tell you that a lot of our young people feel hopeless. We went to more funerals than we went to graduations and weddings and baby showers and proms. A lot of our young people that's 3 to 4 years old has experienced and have a testimony of being shot in the city of Chicago or somewhere else in this country. The issue is also guns. We have guns, you know, they're saying that, the NRA say that guns is not the problem. Yes, it is when you have it inside a hole in the wall, grocery stores on the south side of Chicago, and nobody is paying attention. Nobody is paying attention at the fact that Chuck's gunshot, it is proof that a lot of the guns used in a lot of criminal cases out here was traced back to him. Amen. Nobody is stepping up to say something, so I challenge you all to do everything. Do your research, educate yourself, get some knowledge, understanding about this issue. And again, I'm glad to stand here before you guys to talk. It's getting cold outside, but I'm happy that we can all get together. Still, the carry will be in effect in 2014 in the city of Chicago, and we all know that that's not right right now, because the laws that's inside of it is not going to protect nobody. Not even the criminals. It's not going to protect anybody. It's just say, hey, get a gun, and that's it. Background check, they're not going through background checks. I read an article a few weeks ago that the Illinois State Rifle Association put out that says it was 6.1 plus million people who has FOIA cards in the state of Illinois. Now, we know 6.1 million people plus people did not go through no background check. So again, that's the issue. So start calling your lawmakers and tell them, y'all need to come up with a plan to deal with these guns, or we will not vote for you 2014, 2015 at all. We will not support you. And the blood of our people, whether black, white, whatever ethnic group, is on your hands. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you all for coming out on such a warm Chicago evening.
Yeah, it is warm.
It is very warm. I want to thank my sister for sharing, and thank you, Ann, for the opportunity to come out and to share just a little bit about what the Northern Illinois Conference is doing in the city of Chicago as it relates to the four areas of community safety, education and literacy, restorative justice, as well as education and literacy. What I heard distinctly from my sister as she shared was a call to action. And so what we are preparing to do by the grace of God and with the leadership of our Bishop Sally Dick is to respond to that call. That all of these kind of issues are really, the common thread is poverty. And the issue of poverty is one that has to kind of be dismantled and dealt with in different areas. And so one of the ways in which we're responding is we had an urban summit where more than 400 United Methodists from the Northern Illinois Conference, primarily from the two Chicago districts, the Chicago Northwest and Chicago Southern District, came together. But I was also moved by the number of United Methodists from the Chicagoland area that came together in order to really begin to strategize and talk about how can we make a difference. And the simple question was asked, and that was, what do we want our neighborhoods to look like? Because the United Methodist Church is present. And as a result of that, we have now yet another event and opportunity that we're planning on November 16th. And that's an event that's going to be at Michelle Clark High School, which is in the Austin neighborhood on the west side of Chicago. Once again, we're inviting United Methodists across the city of Chicago in the Chicagoland area to come together and to begin to develop action plans whereby we can work hand in hand with other community stakeholders like the Chicago Police Department, the Mayor's Office, and also Chicago Public Schools. And we've been making inroads in that area so that we can form and galvanize partnerships in order to really have an impact to improve the quality of life of people that live in the city of Chicago. One last thing. We put together, and again with the leadership of our Bishop Sally Dick, we developed what's called a covenant for Chicago. And through that covenant, there is a call that asks all United Methodists to be engaged through community engagement in order to impact the neighborhoods where our churches reside. Most of the churches that we see in the city of Chicago came out of the neighborhoods. However, many of them now are socially, I'll call, dislocated. That is that we commute into the churches. But there are churches also that are community-based churches. And so what we want to do is begin to make an impact in the neighborhoods where our churches serve. We believe that we should seek the salvation of the city, because as we seek the salvation of the city, therefore our welfare is tied in that as well. So thank you for the opportunity, once again, Ann, to come out and share a few words. Thank all of you all for coming out, and I wish there was more heat with these candles. Shall we pray?
Yes.
Okay. Holy God, we give you thanks and praise for this day. We thank you, God, for this opportunity to come together around a common cause. And God, as you have even created this common ground that we all can stand on, we invite your spirit, God, to be and to reside and to rest with each one of us. That, Lord, that even as we've heard the call to action, that we would be able to respond, with our actions, God, that we would be able to make a difference, not just in the city of Chicago, but all those places where violence is perpetrated. Even, God, not just in our cities, but in our homes, in our schools, and all of those places, God. Lord, we want to be a people that would make a difference. That because we have been present, because we are here, that the world and that the places in which we live are a little bit better, God. But we come praying now because we know where our ability ends, that's where your capability begins, God. And so, Lord, we ask that you would keep us, preserve us, bless us, that you would find favor with those things we would endeavor to do, that you would find favor with those enterprises that we are bringing forth, and that, God, that as we begin to focus and as we begin to be strategic around the areas that we would have an impact on, that, God, that at the forefront of all we do would be the children, would be the families, would be the victims. And God, also, we know you're a God of restoration. The offenders, that, Lord, that we would be able to be in community one with another. And on this evening, we ask now, God, that you would hear our prayer. Amen.
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 Hi, everyone. I'm Angel. Right now, what we're here to do is remember all of those that have been lost due to violence in any form, gun violence, domestic violence, bullying, anyone who has been lost. And if you have names at this time, I would ask that you would say that name. And as you say that name, then you turn on your light. And it just keeps going and we keep saying names. And after we say names, I would like if anyone else has prayers or has thoughts and they want to share them, that they would offer that up at this moment after they say the name and after they light their light. Amen.
Amen. Ralph Johnson.
Daniel Warbaugh.
Amen.
Dr. Tim Jones, his wife Nancy.
Amen. Marcus. Amen. Marcus Miller.
Survive. It is His will that every need.
to survive.
Amen.
This is Pastor Grant.
We can all bow our heads. And we call upon the one who is Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. There is a balm in Gilead that can heal the sin-sick soul, that can make all of us whole. God of light, every act of violence in our world, in our communities, between ourselves and others, destroys a part of creation, stirring our heart a renewed sense of reverence for all life. Give us the vision to recognize your spirit in every human being, however they behave toward us. Make possible the impossible by cultivating in us the fertile seed of healing love. May we play our part in breaking the cycle of violence by realizing that peace begins with us. Peace begins with us. Perfect love casts out fear. And so today, we pray for your spirit of love, not just in Chicago, but in the world. Cast out the desperation that leads people to commit violent acts. Cast out the making of walls that divide and imprison us. Cast out the prejudice against people of a certain race or a certain culture or a certain sexual orientation. Cast out the political structures that perpetuate violence. Cast out the hatred that produces fear. We ask, Lord, that you send down the courage that we need to reach out to our communities and to one another in peace. Send down the resolution to not return evil for evil. Send down the creativity that we need to find peaceful solutions. Send down the wisdom so that the politicians and the diplomats may find ways to help us find a way to end gun violence and violence in communities and in the world. Oh Lord, we want you to send down comfort and justice to all of the victims, the mothers, the fathers, the sisters, the brothers, the aunties, the uncles, all of those that have been affected by the violence. Send down the love, God, that will end our fear. Bless our young people, our youth, so they can grow into men and women that can honor you and reflect the best of their families and communities. God, save our young people from negative images, self-images, from feelings of hopelessness, and from peer pressure that makes them sometimes go against the values that they've learned in church, that they've learned from their parents. As Jesus increased in wisdom and favor, let our young people also mature spiritually and in their own physicalness as they are in their neighborhoods and in their schools. May they understand the responsibility and sensitivity to become a friend, to become a leader, to become a husband or a wife and a parent. And lastly, Lord, give our young people role models.
Yes, God.
Give
yes.
our young people yes, mentors.
God. Yes, God.
Grant them yes, spiritual God. Immunity from brokenness yes. and the meanness of this world, this cynical society, this society that they find on their iPhones, on their iPads, on their Android phones, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. Oh, Lord, protect them and guard their hearts, oh, God, from everything that they see in the meanness of this world. Help them to develop good relationships with others. We ask now, God, that you would do these things.
Yes,
and we thank you, for what you've already done, for what you're doing, but most of all, God, for what you're going to do. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ's name. And we claim them now as done. And the people of God, whether they be Methodist, Lutheran, Presbyterians, Muslim, Catholic, but all of us, oh Lord, believing in your Son, Jesus Christ, in our unity tonight, say, amen.
Amen. Amen.